listening to the Pine Room Podcast, but you don't just have to listen to the podcast. We have some other stuff out there too, like Bettor's Last Stand, our sports betting show covering all things sports and betting. Or Soup and Stuff, where Soup sits down with business owners, athletes, and other professionals for good conversation. Or, if you want to listen to us live, you can tune into The Watchdog, FM 98.1 or AM 1600. Or you can listen live online at thewatchdognetwork.com. You're listening to the Pine Room Podcast.
All right, everybody, welcome in. It's the Pine Room Podcast live. Well, not really live, but kind of live from Belmont Brew Works over here in Martins Ferry. Matt, Coach, Chris, and Jeff, your first panel of experts up tonight. As again, thanks to Rick Vion and his wonderful staff for having us here. It's a beautiful day. We wish we were able to be outside, but we got some picnic table issues that we're working out there. And I'm sure the next time that we are here, we will be outside. So it's good to have it's everybody nice with us here today on episode number 101.
That's crazy.
Right?
Yeah, that's it.
Wow, 101.
Yeah. So, unbelievable.
Fellas, how are we doing today? Coach has a purple beer.
Yeah, it's very good. I'm not sure what the name of it is. Did you guys
purple
catch it?
Purple Elephant.
That's it, Purple Elephant.
Purple Elephant.
I keep
very
on
good.
Calling it Purple Nurple, but I don't think that's appropriate.
And Jeff is not imbibing tonight. He's
being smart.
He's a smart one. He's
paying
a
attention
smart one.
To his health, which
no, I don't know.
I have respect
that.
For that. No. I do. He's got a lot more willpower than I do.
Hey,
I know that
Mac,
for sure.
Mark, back to your original statement before we started, something about being a loser. Maybe that's I put myself in that
no,
category.
You got willpower, and that's something to be very, very proud of.
Yeah. You should be.
I don't know about that. I like to drink. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, I think we all like our adult beverages, and we all have crazy lives, so sometimes you need to numb the pain a little bit.
I just can't. I don't know what it is. I can't do stuff like it's what I'm drinking. I don't know. Maybe
yeah, you're it's been a long too. Day. I needed to drink to just
there's nothing wrong
clear
with that.
Maybe
head.
I have a problem.
Does retirement factor into it sometimes? Like during the week, like sometimes when we're
– No, because I like to drink even when I was working.
What about the weather?
No, because I like to drink in a cold too.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
So there's really
I'm trying
nothing.
To give you a way out
I
here,
know,
but I don't think
you're lucky, Pat.
There is no reason.
Well, it's that's just actually a good point. Do you guys think you drink more in the summertime
or
in the wintertime?
Yeah, I would say definitely in the summer.
I know. It's equal for me. I don't give a shit.
I would say equal.
I think I'm probably kind of equal.
A touch more in the summer?
That's it. But the fall is probably the worst.
I would say the fall is the worst.
Because of football.
Well, then, right.
I think summertime, I mean, I think I have had an uptick just with being in the pool and kicking back. I mean, it's kind of hard to be in the pool and not that and a cigar. So I get that, too. I don't know. I would say I'm probably happy middle spot. Well,
speaking of heavy drinking, Chris, congratulations on the state championship.
Yeah, thanks.
Wheeling Park girls get the job done. So congratulations to them and you. Your injury, your injured finger didn't seem to handicap the team too badly. You guys were able to get the job done. In impressive fashion. So, well done. Yeah. And how many beers did you consume?
Wait,
the
before
weekend?
Chris goes into that, I got a real beef.
Thank you, sir.
With Wheeling
Appreciate
Park
that.
High School and Wheeling Park basketball.
Jeez,
I do. The team picture, you weren't in it.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
You,
why did
you,
that?
You didn't get a plaque, and that is, I'm really upset
two things
with
about that.
You were probably still tallying up the.
No, I was sitting there. I could have got in the picture, but I'll be like what Bryce Mills always says: it's not about me. It's about the team. So,
I thought we were knocking out the cliches,
and you don't remember.
I thought we were getting rid of the cliches.
Well, that's for a different episode. But because
I think it is about you.
It's the first time Larry Waldron was on the bench and Flav, and then I think Katara's little niece or cousin was on the bench.
Did you miss a game all year?
No. No, I didn't.
Should have been in the picture.
Did. I bet they did, yes.
Should have been in the picture.
Flav, big time Flav, he shows up on
yeah,
the
Coach Jebbia said Flav was like recovering from your guys' trip. He couldn't even go with the
I don't
boys.
Know. I
he,
did,
he didn't go.
I don't think.
I did not like that picture
well,
without
it,
you
it
in
not,
it.
Actually,
and I'm being
I,
honest
I
there,
got,
be honest
No, I could have got in that picture, but I thought, no, that would just feel weird. I'm just the scorebook guy. So I sat behind there.
Imperative role.
And then
best looking
what was your thing you were upset about?
No, just you being in there and other people, you not being in there and other people were that weren't there every game.
But you know what, though, in my mind and what the people tell me, I knew what my role was and those people recognized it, so I didn't need to be in the picture.
Wow.
Did you get the book page framed? Are they going to do that?
I don't know what Ryan wants to do yet. Because I got all the, you know.
And you signed that, right?
The printouts of the final score, that you'd always get up
right.
at the games.
Yeah.
So I have a bunch of those. Maybe they'll want them to frame them or the book. But
well, the book's got your signature on it.
Hey, bigger question. Did you get a little piece of the net?
No.
Jeez, oh, oh Pete, that's outrageous.
But I didn't make any shots.
Well, neither did the coaches or
and
Larry
the trainer.
Or Flay.
Well, no, Larry didn't do it. No, they didn't let Larry climb the ladder and cut down.
That could have been dangerous.
Right, right.
I'll tell you what, Flav was all dressed up, though. He looked like a big old pimp, man. Like, looked like he was actually meant to be on that sideline. Well, he dressed up like that, too, or well, not?
No, I think it was just for the last game. He had that goofy-looking cowboy hat, red, white, and blue cowboy hat.
Oh, I didn't even know that. Wasn't he suited up at one point in time? He had a tie on, I thought I seen.
Yeah, he had, like, some white shoes on. And he wore something similar to that at the OVAC championship game, and they yelled at him with that stupid hat that he had.
What was the hat?
Just like it looked like it was a red, white, and blue hat that you would it might have said USA on. I don't know, but it was – maybe it said Park, but it was something you would see at, like, Jamboree in the Hills. Not the sidelines of a basketball game.
Well, here's the big question. I mean, obviously, it's great that they won, and that's all so much fun. But how was the before scenes and after scenes and the hotel and all that stuff? Because that's the fun part, let's be honest. Going out to eat, like, was that all good stuff? Or
it always is. And I was going to call in yesterday when I talked to Mark, or when I heard Mark talking about the tournament being in Charleston. And we were having a discussion down there. Like, we were talking about how the Wheeling lost the Super Six and – people were like, yeah, that'd be good if the championship basketball came to Wheeling. I'm like, no, it wouldn't.
No.
It does feel special when you go down there.
I agree.
Even though we like the Mountain East and Wheeling, but it was so much fun to go down there and being in the capital city. And, you know, when you made the mention about you park your car and you may never use it while you're down there in Charleston.
Yeah, and Matt and I talked. The only drawback now is the mall is such a dump now.
Yes.
Not a dump, but it's just there's nothing there.
Right.
I mean,
exactly. Matt,
we were talking – That place was hopping back in the day.
Oh, God.
I think it was that Jubb or Jared. Too. I think I was even Jubb saying about people walking through with their team jerseys,
yeah,
like their
yeah.
team
he
sweatshirts
remembered that
on.
As a kid.
Their single-A sweatshirts and their you know, their get-up for their team.
Yep.
I think that was so awesome. Whereas now there's no stores. Jeff, you been there lately?
We were out down there for Park and Post one last year. But what's really crazy about that is all of a sudden these strip malls became a thing.
Yeah.
You would think, from my understanding, and tell me if I'm wrong, I've always been told that now the owners of the malls have outkicked their coverage because they keep on increasing the rent.
Right.
So, but you would think, though, with the strip malls being a big thing, that they wouldn't keep on increasing, that they want to be vibrant and bring it down a little bit. But I guess that's the way that it is, which is crazy to me. Because Steubenville Mall is a hot mess. Our mall is getting a tiny bit better. Not great. Charleston Mall is horrendous.
Oh.
I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me. They must have gazillions of dollars, but they don't worry about that shit.
Yeah.
Just the property alone must be good enough.
Yeah,
yeah,
right?
Because, Chris, we were talking, when you go there, you know, you had Joey's. You had Bennigan's.
Mm-hmm.
You had the mall where you could go shopping and buy some cheap clothes. Like, remember when they had Stephen Barry's and other cheap stores. And the food court was – there's like six things in the food court.
I counted eight.
Is there like eight?
Yeah.
And but there's three of them are like Chinese, but it's a kickoff. Yeah. Japanese, Chinese, and then one other
some type
Oriental.
Of Philly steak thing, and then you got the Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, I don't know. It's gone.
And
it's,
there weren't many people up there when we were up there the one day. I can't remember what day it was, but it has changed. But you can still, at least compared to Wheeling, you can walk everywhere. I mean, in the hotels,
yes.
within walking distance.
You mean we don't have nice hotels downtown in Wheeling?
Hey, and the McClure's back
open,
just to be very
clear.
Oh,
it is?
It is. It actually, I think, yesterday, I
think. Oh, really?
Putting a dent into the hookers' profits?
Actually, you know what I didn't realize, and this is actually kind of cool, they were having it open for veterans. There's four veterans that actually live down there, and I guess they had to kick them out for a while, and then they brought them back yesterday.
Well, that's good. I mean,
yeah, that is
at least
cool.
Somebody to take care of them.
No doubt.
Jeff, and real quick, back to your question. Yeah, it was typical, like the nightlife and the meals and all that stuff.
That's so much fun, though. There's a high
but to that. It's probably the first time since I've ever gone down there, high school, or back when we went to the Mountain East and the West Virginia Commerce tournaments, I was so hungover I couldn't drink.
Hold on, what day?
Ooh. Thursday.
Really?
That was the off day.
Thursday was the off day?
Mm-hmm. You were
Wow.
Wow. I'm offended by that.
Here's what I...
Matt's all offended. Those times that we drank down there and you were never hungover and then you go down there, what the hell's going on?
Well,
who do you blame this
on? Hey, Matt, I don't know if he was never hungover.
I dispute that.
Just wait, what? He said through. I wasn't hungover?
The times we went, you were never hungover.
So if we were going to do an over-under on Wednesday night on the amount of beers consumed, are you able to give me a ballpark?
So who was the culprit for this?
It was that Maggie Hupp's mother. She just making these Earl Grey martinis.
Oh, okay. So you were doing liquor. That changes the deal.
Yeah, it wasn't just.
Where was she doing that? Where were that?
At the embassy.
Like she was downstairs making
but
them?
Her room was there, but she had a bar up in her room, and I wasn't up there, but she'd come down with these solo cups of these Earl Grey martinis.
We didn't imply that you were.
When I said she had a bar in her room, she just brought all her.
I got you.
And she had no problems. That was cool that she shared, I guess.
She'd been talking these things up for months now.
Were they good?
They tasted good, but Jesus, they like taking a right to the head from Mike Tyson.
They destroyed you?
Yeah. In fact, I went to the recovery the next day around 3 o'clock after the last game of the first session, and I went into the restaurant. I ordered my food, and I vomited.
Before or after you got your food?
I took a few bites, and then I felt much better.
Really?
Wow. I tell you, Mr. Pavlik, you got it done, brother. You got it done.
I'm keeping it real.
No, I respect you.
I mean, it's embarrassing.
No, it's not.
But I didn't know those martinis were going to be that strong. I really did.
So was she making those with vodka or gin?
Yeah, no vodka.
Thank you. Oh, God. That might have made me vomit.
Yeah.
Did you get to choose? I'd rather have had the gin. You would have chosen.
I don't know. Yeah, I would have. I don't know if that was an option, but I think I did have 3 beers late that night when the coaches come down for a little powwow.
Oh, so you drank those all night. So
I can't believe you were able to recover in time to get you guys 2 more wins after that. That's pretty impressive, Chris.
Well, it was on the off day. So Wednesday night after the
It's
after
a lot
the
to put your body through.
I know. Well, and you say that, though, Matt, but like, think about it, though. When we were down there in the heyday in Charleston, I was probably in my 30s. A lot different now.
You're in good shape.
Yeah.
You're still holding together just fine.
So just clarification, you drank those all night and then did the nightcap with beers.
Oof.
No, mix them.
Oh, wow, yeah. No wonder you threw up.
Because went to recovery and drinking and then – or no, wherever. And then we ran into her, and there was a bunch of people at Embassy because I think things run together, but we were over there having a good time, and then she came down with these solo cups, and she goes, "Here, have one." And
one
led to 3.
Good for you, though.
Hey, Timmy Mac said it was because of the PBR you were drinking. That's what made you.
No,
sick.
He guilted me into not getting them. He said he called me a pussy. Don't be drinking that shit. So I got $4 beers, but I sitting, you know, hats off to Tim. He picked up my tab, and I didn't expect him to do
Timmy
that.
Mac, did Timmy Mac drink every night? With you guys?
Maybe not every night with it, but he drank every night.
So you didn't drink every night with him. Like he wasn't pounding beers with you every night.
The bulk of my time with him drinking was Friday after the Huntington game.
That's a dumb question because I know the answer. They don't serve beer at the high school tournament.
They do not.
No. Which is probably good.
Seeing some of those Nitro fans down there, I could only imagine.
Would they be like on par with the AB fans back in the day?
Oh,
yes,
boy.
Yes, yes.
I think those were the craziest fans ever.
AB?
Yeah, the biggest partiers.
Yeah. And they weren't troublemakers.
No, they were nice.
They were loud. But
I remember their athletic director, the lady. Was she their athletic director, Matt?
I thought it was Glenville.
Janet Bailey, you're thinking about. Yeah.
AB, who was...
J.D. Long was there.
J.D. Long. That was the guy we partied with, A.B. Boy.
Do you guys think that standard will ever change where they will sell it, like a state championship that they'll sell at high school?
I don't think they can.
Yeah, I don't think they – yeah.
They can't risk it.
Too risky.
I mean, they already have enough incidents without alcohol.
That's true. But
Boy, you imagine the money they would make, though.
Oh, God.
You imagine. Yeah.
If I was a referee, I'd fear for my life.
True, though.
I mean, I'd probably be terrible and suck like all of them do, and I'd probably deserve it. But
actually, speaking of that, Luke Doyle's got games this weekend up at the Highlands for travel basketball. It's his first travel basketball assignment. And I was talking today, and he was super excited because he knows those parents are hyper-focused, and he knows there's going to be obviously some sort of interaction.
Well, he's already thrives on this.
He loves it. Absolutely loves it. Yeah,
I like that. Has he, what word am I looking for?
shoot, what word am I looking for? Has he
become, with some dicks?
Become
indoctrinated,
not oblivious, but now it,
yeah,
now
baptism.
It's, now it's like he knows what he's dealing with, and he has found a way to deal with it in his own way, which he likes, but he knows how to deal with it.
It's maybe a little bit too much enjoyment because I think he's just ready. He's a little bit too antsy to, and I probably shouldn't be saying this because if somebody by chance listens, he's got a hard on for somebody. But I do think he anticipates it already. And he gets excited because he thinks it's going to happen. He loves that. He loves that interaction. Which, but you know what? Good for you, because I think that's good.
Well,
there's nothing wrong with that.
Think is the better approach to that. Like if you're an arrogant ref and you know someone's yelling at you, can you kind of maybe just joke with them a little bit or maybe to keep it light, or they're going to be assholes no matter what, so you just say, I mean, I don't know. Like, I think it,
there's
know,
no getting through to those arrogant refs.
No.
I do think the balance ones that got the
little bit of not all of them are arrogant.
I see what you're saying, Chris, and I sat at the scorer's table for I think 12 out of the 18 games, 13 out of the 18 games. And I was thinking the same thing. How do these refs, Brian Poor, the one game, never let up the whole game on the referees? And where do you draw the line? And that's where, Luke, I'd love to talk to him about it, is where do you draw the line on, okay, enough's enough. Some of them don't listen to him. Some of them interact with him. Some of them walk away from him. That line where you say, all right, I've had enough, and one more word and you're teed. Like, where does it come? Because this dude literally went the whole game bitching at the officials. He spent no time coaching and bitching at the officials the whole game.
See, that doesn't really make sense to me. And as being a basketball coach, to boot at the college level, you know there's already issues with shortages of referees.
Right.
So if you truly love the game of basketball, you're hindering the game of basketball by being a dick from tip off till close. So Deanna, you think you'd be a little bit self-aware to go, okay, I know that I need to ride him a little bit, but to ride him from beginning to end is crazy.
The whole game. And my thing is, and I asked, I can't remember what official was it. I said, do these coaches really think you're trying to fuck them? You're trying to screw them? I mean, that's my point.
What was the answer? Or you didn't get a chance to ask?
No, I asked him, and he said, well, you know, obviously we're not. And he said,
oh, I don't know about that. Some of them do.
You think so?
Oh, God, yeah. Listen, they tell stories about that. If you ever listen to or talk to people who are friends with referees, like good friends, they admit, they tell on them. I know, I'm not going to name the names. I can. But they'll tell you. Oh, they love it. They can't wait to tee this cop. They don't like this guy. They don't like that guy. Well, but I get what you're saying. But there are guys that do that. So I'm kind of on the coach's side a little bit,
too.
And I saw – and I may have told you guys Sunday night when I saw you down at Vets. It was it was foggy. But and I think in that championship game of the Park Girls, there was a play where one of our girls caught the ball in the corner, and they said her foot was – her heel was on the baseline or whatever. And from what I understand, it was a bad call. I couldn't tell. But Ryan was upset about it. And then the ref took a real attitude toward him.
Oh, yeah, you said that. Yeah.
And he kept pointing to one of the girls. Now, you take care of that problem. One of the girls had her shirt untucked. And he said it like Ryan three times. And, you know, but like probably like three possessions later, he came up to Ryan and apologized. Say, hey, man, I was out of line there. I don't know. I mean, it was a good exchange, and then you know I don't think they had an issue the rest of the game.
Oh, so hold on, the referee actually admitted, "Hey, I was a little bit wrong there."
Yeah, he just kind of said he was just
that could have been ugly.
Not out of line, or maybe he just went too far because he kept bitching.
Yeah, there's another one.
That's your problem there, and he's pointing to the girl with her shirt on.
Okay,
but
I guess I can appreciate that though. Yeah. I can appreciate that.
Man. So I was, you know, like I said, I was always wondering what you guys saw. If it's just better to be like good natured as a ref, or you just be a hard ass and the first minute someone yells at you and like, you know.
I think it goes back to like we talked about earlier, just the balance. I mean, I don't think to come out with your penis in your hand is a good way to be.
But I think
not having a backbone and being soft isn't good either. But so I think that happy middle.
Don't you guys think though that some of these guys develop a history with each other, which I
agree.
Think probably doesn't do any good.
No, and actually, I would agree with that 100%. And it is unfortunate because at the end of the day, if you're hearing through the grapevine, that obviously that's dumb on the referee's part. Oh, like you would think that'd be close to the cup, man.
Yeah, then they go and they spout off when they're down at TJ's or wherever they're drinking at, and they're saying, "Oh yeah, I whacked so and so last night." That to me is a total turn. That makes me hate officials more than I already
I get that.
I hope Luke does a really good job because I think he's got the demeanor to be good at it.
Oh, that's
so
why
I do mean that too. Because
I get that.
He's like he knows it. Like he almost like you say he feeds off of it, but he doesn't have that like little man's disease or any of that ego stuff. So which I think he can he would probably end up being a favorite of a lot of coaches. I would guess.
How Jeff is does he want to pursue this?
I tell you what, potentially. I think that he absolutely, and obviously he's a baseball kid, but he loves to referee basketball.
Really?
Like when I tell you, he loves it.
Has he
Matter
had
fact,
any,
he much, he's going to try to do more basketball in the summer than he is going to do baseball.
Has he had any run-ins with, I mean, coaches? I mean, I obviously he hears a chirping, but any, like had to throw tee anybody up yet? Or?
He's had to tee one person up. I think he's had to throw two people out.
Fans,
really?
Mm-hmm. There was actually a girl that I think it was him and another high school kid were doing a game, and a girl that they graduated high school with came down at halftime and like while they were going to their room, it was like nose to nose. The AD.
Oh yeah, you told me about that.
Wait a minute, the fans going nose to nose.
Was that
with
a Brooke?
Luke?
I don't remember.
Thought
where
you
was
said
that.
It was a Brooke.
It may have been. I can't remember that. And then the other one was a fan that came down that like was John from the thing, and there was two games, back-to-back games. The first game he had no involvement in but was chirping the whole time and then came down after the game and was like trying to be aggressive, and they tossed him. But it's really what they do. I think their advice is they don't have you toss. You tell the AD.
Yeah, right. Or do they say – the game isn't going to go on until he's gone. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is good.
Yeah, it should be.
Then it puts the pressure on the AD to get
100%.
Rid of it. But, Chris, my question, or Matt, what, or even Jeff, would you want a referee that I'm at the scorer's table, and I said, I don't know how you can referee, and they bang. They're so big. They're so physical. They're so fast. There's so much bumping and just reaching and banging. I don't know how you do it.
No, I
honestly don't know how do you stay consistent with the reaching and the you know the banging, the elbowing. I don't know how you do it. I just think
not an easy gig.
It's a hard job.
It is a hard job.
Oh
it
my
really
god! I'm like watch it and say that to me looked like a foul, and they didn't call it. And then down here. That didn't look like a foul, but they call it.
I think your best guys, though, probably understand that they're going to miss calls, and they can kind of convey that to the coaches and the players.
Yeah,
like, hey, I might have missed that back air. Like,
right.
I'll try to do like,
– right.
That, to me, it goes a long way. And I mean, we had Tony Chiazza, who's a top-level official. And he said – he was talking about that. Just like, you know, sometimes you got to just say, I missed that.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay. But a lot of guys don't act like that, and they say their way is the only way, and they're right all the time. And we all know that's not going to be the way.
Do you not agree, though, at the end of the day, and I know we talk about self-aware all the time and that kind of stuff, but that's just a life thing.
Absolutely.
Do you not agree that if Chris does something wrong, but Chris mans up and says, hey, guys, my apologies.
Right.
There's not many people that can look Chris in the eye and go, you know what, you're still a dick.
I think you'll get a lot more forgiveness, a lot more understanding.
100%, because at the end of the day, we all know that we're not perfect. So at the end of the day, referee's not going to be perfect. So if he admits, hey, I messed up, that's on me, man, it would be hard to be in his shit all the time.
You know what pisses me off, though, about coaches? Yeah. They're getting fucking slaughtered. Their team's playing terrible, and they're busting it. They're busting the referees. They're busting the referees' ass. A referee should fucking look at them and say,
really?
"You're down 30. Your team can't play defense. They can't fucking shoot. They can't run an offense, and you're going to say this is all me because I didn't call that foul."
Do you think the coaches sometimes want to get thrown out because they're too
soft? That's a possibility, too. And I say it's funny you say that because one of the dig games he did, we'll go back to baseball on this, literally – First at bat, and the third base coach is giving all kinds of signs. Looks like we know this is going to be first at bat.
Lead off guy. That to me, yeah.
Looks like this is going to be a long night.
Lead off guy giving signals.
All kinds of signals. Like Luke's like,
what can he be doing?
This is going to be a long night. This is going to be a long night. Yeah.
That is classic.
Unbelievable.
That proves right there that. Like some coaches just don't belong, and he probably thinks he looks really good.
Yes, he's head to toe. You know, he's probably got the uniform rocking. Rocking the uniform at 7th and 8th grade baseball for sure. Without a doubt, looking the part is everything. It's unbelievable.
And acting like he invented baseball.
100%, yeah, right?
He knows the game better than anybody else.
It's just crazy to me, man.
It's asinine.
Well,
but yeah, I think though most of those refs. I mean, you're right, Mark. It happens so fast. You can be the top ranked official in the freaking world, and you're not going to get
Chris,
them all right.
I think you've transformed a little bit. You used to hate referees. Well, now you're sitting down there working with them all the time. You like them.
Oh, there you go. Right?
I hate them all.
Well,
not
guys,
except for Tony and Luke. They're the only two I like.
Think, well, the guys that I know now, all seem to be pretty good
guys.
Well,
Chris, I think your beef with referees is more in football. It's more in football with the constant flags that
I would agree with that.
You never...
I called your son. I called Jared today. I was watching College of Charleston. Turned it on last night, and I watched maybe 2 minutes. There was a dead ball. They had to go to the monitor. They were checking something that happened a minute and a half ago because a guy, they thought he got hit up in the neck with an elbow, and I got pissed off and turned it off. I never turned the game back on.
I don't blame you.
This is absolutely fucking asinine. So I don't know who initiates that. Do you know how's that worked? Because a guy, he was trying to split a double team, hit the guy – I mean, very inadvertently. I don't know what happened on the play, if he lost it. But they determined that they had to go back and review that because it looked like it might have hurt him. So, and I got pissed. I called Jared today bitching about it. I'm like, because he was on the show, was it yesterday or Monday, bitching about the Mountain East game. He didn't even go to the championship game.
Oh, it was bad.
Because those were reviews, and there were one after another.
There were four or five times when the referee in the middle of the game would run by the scores table and look at the alternate referee at the table and go like this. We're going to look
get
at that.
Queued up.
We're going to look at that in a little bit. Matter of fact, one game, Matt, we were talking about, they took a three-point shot
several
away.
Several minutes later.
Because he didn't beat the shot clock.
Right.
Did you say several minutes later?
Several minutes later.
Oh, no, way later.
Well, how's that work?
Wait, so what happened?
No, there. There could be times when there's like
play continues in several minutes.
Oh,
that's dumb.
No, Matt. Sometimes it could be all the way to the quarter of the half. There was a 3-point shot in one of the women's or men's.
It's a men's game, I think.
Men's game where it was right on the shot clock. Right whether the shot clock had gone off or not, and the guy shot. He made it. They came by and gave it this. It was, honestly, Jeff, I think it was at halftime. They came back and reviewed it. He didn't beat the shot clock. They took the three off the board.
You know, it might have been a women's game, Coach, because it might have been an end of a quarter.
I think it was, because I don't think it was that long.
Yeah,
maybe 3 minutes or something.
Yeah, you know,
because I had the game over the total.
Yes, that's and they took the three away.
And I didn't hit all those foul shots.
Yeah.
That's it.
And he didn't even get – it wasn't even a situation where it was counted as a three, and his foot was on the line or her foot was on the line. It was a two. It was 3-0.
Yeah, it was right. It was so instead of getting a three or a two, I got zero out of it because it didn't beat the shot clock.
Continued on several possessions back and forth. But my question is, at the end of a game, what if it ended ended?
Right, exactly.
And the other team won by two, and then they took the three away.
They don't do that shit during the regular season.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Why do they change the rules in a tournament game? If you call it a three, it's a three. If you missed it, you missed it.
See, that's where they give them too much control. That's where that's just way too much control at that time. And they should have control. Don't get me wrong, but that's way too much control.
And it's less incentive to get the damn call right to begin with.
That's true too.
They got that
so you can always lean back on the monitor. And
that's crazy, man. Wow.
Well, Mark, you made a great point too, talking about those delays, how the reviews just delay the game. It just takes the excitement, takes the wind out of the energy. The teams just stand there. I think then Matt brings it up. Then they decide to go back out on a court, and then next possession, well, that's called timeout.
Sometimes they don't even get a possession, Chris. They call right after.
They shouldn't fucking have. They
yeah, and you see, they're getting pumped up. Their crowd's fired up. They're gonna win. They're gonna win the championship. You know, they're gonna celebrate.
Logger.
Two freaking stoppages of play that lasted 4 or 5 minutes each, and just drained the life out of the game. It just was silent. It's just, I don't know, that whole. It's gone so bad. That's what Matt and I were talking about on the radio. Never had that down in a conference tournament. There were none of that stoppage of play bullshit. It was just play, get it done. And
well, when Jarrett and I were talking today about almost every sport has been affected now. A guy gets hurt, we have to change the rules. So, you know, football, we can't hit too hard. Baseball, we can't slide too hard. Basketball the same way. And then hockey, they've kind of basically – without outlawing the fighting. They don't see that much, and you know, it just all in the name of everybody being safe.
With that attendance, I mean, down at the Civic Center, you guys have obviously been a part of this tournament for a really long time. When it comes to attendance, is our attendance good in Wheeling, or is it relative to everywhere else?
It wasn't as good as it could have been in the past, or was in the past. West Liberty plays at the wrong time slot. I think it affects it. Thank you.
Yeah, 2:30 in the afternoon. That's what, on Thursday or something.
That's a great question, Jeff. West Liberty being good, the men, it helps. Helps the crowd tremendously because they fill an entire lower section and some on the other side. Glenville used to bring huge crowds when Kim was there, and they would bring what they'd almost fill.
Oh yeah,
could fill half of a lower section.
Yeah,
Fairmont brings a nice crowd, but like some other teams bring nobody. But if somebody made a really good point to me today, and that this tournament might be in trouble. If West Lib isn't very good, and they would get knocked out like the women did in the first round, there'd be nobody in the building.
Probably not.
No. There'd be nobody in the building.
And that was brought up way back before. Thank God I wasn't working at West Liberty when they moved it up here, but I was always what we argued against. Like, you can't count on West Liberty being good forever.
Right.
Like, you got to be smart about this. You can't just jump on it now because West Liberty, at that time, West Liberty, Wheeling, and Fairmont were all ranked in the top five in the country.
Yeah. Oh,
wow. And they wanted to move it to Wheeling, and it was like, wait a second. Like, that's not going to continue forever. Like, I mean, we would like it to, but it's not going to, so you got to be sensible about it. So my thing is, I know Reed hates Charleston. He flat out does.
He didn't
want it to go back there. So he's going to tell you that the crowds are equal to or is better than down there. That's not true. That is not true. I could speak to it. I'm telling you, I've never seen West Banco Arena even close to what I've seen down in Charleston in that lower bowl a few times towards the end of the Crutchfield
run. Not even close.
Chris has been there too.
Even before West Liberty started that run of dominance down when it was in Charleston, University of Charleston was usually always pretty good. West Virginia State, Alderson brought us. They would bring good crowds. I mean, obviously, right. State and Charleston are right there.
Mm-hmm.
But they would have some really good crowds and made for a great atmosphere. But, I mean, did State have many fans this weekend?
No.
Charleston did better than I expected.
UC was pretty good. Yeah, UC.
They were?
Yeah, okay. And Fairmont was solid. But you know what, Jeff? They live off the sponsorships that we get here.
Oh, I'm sure.
I heard a figure that Health Plan, the check that Health Plan wrote for the tournament. I hope
they don't move it ever again. I like the Mountain East being here now. Seeing I don't have to worry about the school anymore like I used to. But, I like it here. It's perfect. It works out well for us. Coach works all the games. I make lines for the games here. I mean, it's a good setup. I'd like to see him be able to get the crowds to grow them a little bit because the product of basketball is still pretty good. I mean, although the women's league was a little down this year.
What they got to do, though, you know, to draw interest?
That's a great question. That would be a hard job, though.
Yeah.
To be that person in charge, that would be tough.
I don't know. It's tough, too. You got teams now. You got more teams leaving. Schools shutting down. There's just not that following in the D2 basketball at all anymore.
The health plan has big pockets, and I get that. But will there be a time where they realize, okay, this check that I'm cutting really isn't benefiting me in the long run?
Nah, that's a good question because they get a lot of exposure.
They do.
But
I wonder how they translate that into money.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, it's no different than when we're doing the radio. We have a hard time understanding. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But there were some pretty significant businesses that did not sponsor this year. Dave Flatley was telling me, and I was shocked.
Is it because they don't feel like their ROI is good?
I think so.
I think not much on
return for their investment. I guess I don't know, but I think they live off the sponsorship. So I don't think it'll leave Wheeling anytime soon.
No.
And to be honest with you, West Banco is a really
perfect arena.
Perfect arena. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's what's West Banco's seat?
Is it 10?
Is it too many? 65, yeah. 67, yeah, something like that. Yeah. Maybe. So I don't know about for the basketball, though, because it's a little bit different without floor seats.
So obviously, you put 3,000 in Charleston, it looks like nobody's there. You put it in West Banco, it looks full.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think they like that aspect of it. So
I'll say one thing on a positive note. I think after looking at the Mountain East, like The Nailer, every Nailer game that I went to had better attendance than a lot of those Mountain East games.
Oh, wow.
A lot of them. Yeah. So, I mean, the Nailers are definitely doing something
early. The early games in the Mountain East, I'm telling you, there weren't.
How about Wednesday's game?
There weren't 300 people there. There literally weren't.
Was that the noon game that started the tournament?
Yeah, the 2-2.
It was bad. So and even Westlip's women. Westlip's women.
I wonder why that was.
But, no.
They're such a good team. Yeah. My goodness.
Yeah. But, but even like traditionally, although all the years we went, there weren't many times when Wesleyan was good and we didn't have Frost. But like if they rise to the top and they have some good players, I'm at least talking about the girls' side of it.
Yeah.
You know, will they have a following? You know, will they bring fans?
Yeah.
I mean, we
Frostburg
don't really
had a few people. It wasn't terrible. I mean, they were, they're a pretty good team, but that's really not that bad of a trip. If the weather's not bad,
right?
So I don't know.
What do you think the whole Nailer thing, man? If you're saying the game, why all of a sudden did they get? I mean, which is super
I'm
great.
I'm just
to
wondering
find.
If more people were just interested in the hockey aspect because it's just more unique, and that around the area it's been here for so long, and people are, to be honest with you, and this will sound like kind of rude and conceited, but like this is not a college educated area and they don't have affiliations with colleges, so around here they have affiliations with their high school, and then they see this team that's a pro hockey team that they can never afford to be able to go to a Penguin game, so they got to go to a Nailer game.
So and to piggyback off that, PBR is already sold out both
right.
nights.
Yeah.
If they bring wrestling, you can
It'll
count on 5,000 people
only,
being
right.
there. Anything where
this is a blue collar area. I guess that's a better way to say it, but I don't want to be better.
it's called facts.
Yeah,
facts. It is what it is.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, that unfortunately, that's not improving anytime soon. So.
No, it's not.
Oh, you don't think? No,
it is what it is. At the end of the day, yeah. Sorry if anybody's feelings are hurt. Sorry about your luck. It is what it is.
Get over it.
It is what it is. The black and the white stuff. But that's good. Yeah. That's actually really good to hear about the Nailers, though. That's good to see. At the end of the day.
They'll be back soon. All right, we're going to take a break here, Pine Room. I almost said Pine Room on the Watchdog. Pine Room Live
podcast.
From Belmont Brew Works. We're glad to be here. We're going to take a quick break, and you may get in a different ensemble of characters after this, but we will roll on with show 101 for Belmont Brew Works. We'll be back in a moment.
The Pine Room Studios is happy to present the first annual North Atlantic Beer Mile in partnership with Waterfront Hall in Wheeling, West Virginia. Join us May 4th for Waterfront Fest for a day of beer, music, and fun. From retail vendors, live band performances, pre- and racetime DJs, and of course, the North Atlantic Beer Mile, brought to you by the Pine Room Studios. A challenge of gastric fortitude, endurance, and speed, this event is a mile-long foot race broken into four quarter miles. Before the first and after each subsequent quarter mile, competitors are tasked to drink a 10-ounce beer before continuing to the next quarter mile. In total, four beers, four quarter miles, one epic race. You can run, walk, solo, and relay, all at Waterfront Fest, May 4th, 2024.
Okay, we're back here at Belmont Brew Works with two legends here. Rick Vion, the owner of Belmont Brew Works, we thank him for having us over. As always, it's a great place. It's unbelievable. We have so much fun when you come over here. And we're also joined by Josh Piles.
Hey.
Haven't seen Josh for quite a while.
Been a minute.
I didn't know that he had ventured into a new career, but it's exciting, and he actually has a vested interest in us because he worked with Jubb and Jarrett many years ago.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe it's been that many years ago that he worked with us, but now he's in a new venture, and he's the new owner of Hightower Brewing, which is really exciting. Great venture, and we welcome both you guys onto our show, and thanks for being here.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, and Rick Vion, we're like brothers now. We're like family. Like, it's like cool over here. He's like,
what would that make me?
I'd be your stepdad. Yeah. I don't know. That works. That works.
I don't know about all that.
I like that.
Yeah, I put you in the will. That's
yeah,
the thing.
Yeah.
That folds under the questions that you don't want the answers
yeah,
to.
Yeah, we probably not.
I'm the weatherman, by the way.
Yes, he's the weatherman.
That was you I told that story.
Yes.
Yeah, the
yes.
weatherman. Call me that if you want. I can't tell you that this, story on radio.
So as you can tell.
It's kind of funny, though. Don't you?
This whole program right now is probably going to go downhill quickly.
Oh,
like with Rick Vion on here. This might go sideways, but
yeah,
anyway, it's always fun to have Rick on. We had him on the radio show last week, and always appreciate his support of the Pine Room. He's really, I think this is what our third time over here, and we've had a great time every time we come over. Tonight's wing night here, and the food is awesome. The people are awesome, and Rick does such a great job, and. Really good to be here, Rick. The weather's breaking. We wanted to do this outside, but we got picnic table problems.
Yeah, picnic tables, and like I was talking to Soup, who said he was going to be here tonight, which he's
well,
not here.
Hey, it's only a matter of time until he's back.
Well, he'll be like, I'm watching a movie with my fiance. Every time I call him, I'm like, really?
Yeah, dude. He doesn't sit down. But he doesn't sit down very often.
Yeah,
believe me.
Like,
so
you have a ton of energy.
Yeah, that's a shocker.
But,
so
you know, we want to do it outside. Obviously,
we'll do it
in the near future. But you know,
absolutely,
we're gonna have a cornhole contest or competition, whatever you call it.
Yes. Yeah, so we're gonna do more here at Belmont Brew Works. This is really a good place. But one of the reasons we're here is for my man Josh Piles.
Yeah.
10 years, and we're gonna get into a little history of
his
training and what he's done, and now. His new venture was really exciting. So talk a little bit about Josh, about what inspired you to go from working out every day, which I'm sure you still do.
Yeah,
you look like a Greek god.
I saw him the other day.
You look like a Greek god to now taking over a brewing company. And I know you're with your mind, it goes a million miles an hour and the things you're going to do it. Talk a little bit about what inspired this.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I can go down a couple of paths of why I really got into, obviously, the beer industry. Obviously, I'm a fitness guy, but I still enjoy a good beer.
Oh,
you know?
Fitness and beer go together.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how I work out.
I mean, the Arnold Encyclopedia.
Well, you got big biceps from
that's right,
exactly. 12-ounce curls.
Oh, these are 16.
Yeah,
so.
16. You get a little
I was
heavier.
In the gym in 1987.
But, yeah. All right, so talk. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously, Arnold was a big keg drinker. You know what I mean? So I kind of learned from the best. But, no, what really got me in it, there was a couple of things. One, what really intrigued me, and I'm just going to hit a little bit of a soft point, was COVID. You know, I was in the fitness industry. We were one of the first people to shut down. A guy with a brain like me, I kind of can't settle down for 90 days without doing something, right?
Right.
Definitely.
So I started watching people that stayed in business and people that were doing well in business. And I have a family. And I looked at him like, okay, this can never happen again. If I'm going to continue to stay in fitness, I got to start diversifying the way our family makes money. And I started looking at alcohol, tobacco, storage industries, rental revenues. And here I am now. I'm in storage. I am in tobacco sales. I have my own cigar company with Tyler Harto doing a phenomenal job. And then now here I am in the brewing company. So it was almost a forced through trial. It's just, you know, I guess you get shut down and your revenue stops. You start thinking a little bit, you know, and as a father, you got to take care of the happy home.
Absolutely.
Happy wife, happy life. And
yes.
I wasn't wanting to do that again.
We just went over that. So you're a fitness guru.
Yeah.
But you went into tobacco and alcohol.
Yeah.
Now you're in my industry.
Absolutely. I mean, at the same exact time, like obviously my wife is doing a good job. She does run. We still own a 24-hour gym. The Blue Wave Center up in Fallensby. She does a killer job up there with her smoothie company as well.
Oh, nice.
Still got that background. Just, you know, dad's venturing out to do some things. And I feel like it was easy for me to sell fitness, obviously. I've never sold fitness. You know, I trained you as well.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to get better, you want to take that thing, you want to be the best that you can be, I don't sell you anything. Either come
right,
do the time
right.
and put it in with
absolutely.
Me or don't. I'm not selling you anything, right? With the beer, it's the same way. I fell in love. This is the other part. I fell in love with Hightower 7 years ago. They're up on our hill. It's on County Road 16. I live on County Road 15. And when I got it, I'm a beer guy.
and it, I couldn't find a beer I didn't like. Mm-hmm. So it's now that I'm coming into this ownership, it's so easy for me to sell it is because I actually drink it and enjoy it.
Yes.
So it's like talking about fitness. It just rolls off the tongue, makes it super easy.
Right, and it's something that you now, I can tell, you have a passion for. So yeah. I can, and so Hightower, you took over a business that's pretty firm in the ground.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that you have now visions of even taking it to the next level.
Absolutely.
Like you don't want to stay status quo. You want to take it to the next. So talk about your vision and what you want to do.
Yeah. So Greg and Megan have done, I can't even explain the job that they have done.
Now, Greg and Megan
I'm going to call them kind of the owner. So they're teaching us right now. I'm the owner, obviously, but they're here till May 20th.
Okay.
they're coaching us up on the brewing, and we're keeping the same recipes, the same brand, the same name, and paying tribute to them. So they got this thing started out of a 2-car garage.
Isn't that amazing?
7 years ago, man. It's unbelievable. They have fast-forwarded this 7 years later. The roots are in the ground. The brand is here. Everybody knows it. Phenomenal beer. Now I've got a hold of it, and you know me.
Oh, yeah. You're going to go.
So, and, you know, I don't know if it's mixed with ambition and idiocracy. I have no clue yet. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to figure it out, right?
When you say regional, you mean national.
Yeah.
The way your brain thinks, you're not going
to
be regional.
No, that's I would have never got into this if I just wanted to stay in the High Valley. Mm-hmm. You know, number one, I wanted to first get into this before I thought I was going to own it and take it to Florida. When you have this pink lemonade today, or you have a pineapple upside down.
I'm anxious.
Let's pour it open.
Oh, my goodness, because I'm out of beer, so I'm ready to go.
Where's our server?
Well, yeah, Josh, we were talking before. You said you're going to get into West Virginia here soon, right?
Yeah. So obviously, you know, that is our key victory. You know, they're so close. We got a couple things and little loopholes and red tape, obviously, with the alcohol industry. I got to jump through. But having it, I mean, honestly, we're staring at a West Virginia hill as we look out these windows. I've got to get it over to the Wheeling, into West Banco, whatever it takes. You
so
know?
Let's toast here.
This is pink lemonade. Pink lemonade. It's a sour beer.
It's a sour beer.
I believe it's sitting at a 4%.
Oh, my.
Very good.
Oh, my.
Very good.
You sit on the beach with that bad boy.
You do. Oh, you do. That's a perfect beach beer.
And this one's
Are you kidding
up
me?
On
that reminds me of the old Natter days. They used to make those natural light strawberry lemonades.
That is
that's how you
really good.
Break glasses.
That's right. I'm just break everything around here.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Are all these on here, the pink lemonade?
No. So I brought a coffee stout. We just got that back on tap now.
Oh, my goodness.
That is a double hop, double IPA, Into the Storm, fantastic IPA, and as well as our Hilltop Haze. That's a very well-known beer around through here as well.
Is this 10?
It's a 10.
Oh, hey, boy.
It's a 10.
That might put you on your ass.
Oh. Wow.
Josh, do you have a favorite beer
that you've, man.
I guess.
Tell them the truth. Too.
Yeah, so, you know, but obviously you they're all there. Good, uh-huh. you know. But I'm a sour IPA guy. Mm-hmm. I like a good, strong, sour kick right at the back end. It still lets me know, you know, I'm still drinking a beer. It's mm-hmm. not that seltzer. We do have seltzers, and they have their own classification of its own. But I like that sour IPA. You mm-hmm. know, our anniversary, we got some 10% double, triple IPA sours coming out. So and they're going to be bangers.
What's the difference between a single and a double IPA?
Oh, it just depends on how you hop it. You know what I mean? How where you're moving the hops at, and where they're coming in at, and how they dry hop. You could do a double dry hop. There's a process to it. And you're asking questions. I'm just now learning.
You only have to the 20th. I've been turned loose before. Well, I'm going to be gone on the 20th. Good luck.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, so, no, Greg's doing a great job. It's a lot of this is like you just got to get into it, and you just move it. And then you grow your green thumb as you go. Mm-hmm.
Greg, or
you try this
Rick,
one next?
Hand me down that pink.
You want to try this one next?
Yeah, but look, give me another shot of that.
There you go.
This is like, Jerry, you could. Jarrett, you could eat this up, couldn't you, Jarrett?
Yeah, that lemonade is something serious. I would love to sit on the beach drinking that.
Wow.
Yeah,
and you know,
is this a big seller?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. When we get the through my lens classes, they don't last long. We go, and that's why you'll see a lot of variety from us, because we're constantly trying to change up our sours. We got green apple sour coming out tomorrow. Got pineapple upside down cake right now. We got fruit punch candy coming out.
I can smell that when I open 100%. The can.
Let me stop you there for a second. Are these these beers? Yeah, geez, I got a whiff of that just coming around. Now, let me ask you this. What are these beers already on a Hightower menu, or is this something you've come up with?
No, this was
this is their
still
beers.
Them, absolutely.
Now and I'm interested to hear this because we have a beer that was made by Big Timber in out of Elkins, West Virginia, which is the biggest brewery in West Virginia, and we're really proud of it.
Yeah, they're great.
They're phenomenal. So where does Hightower reach? What is your what is your proximity of where you distribute beer?
So right now, obviously, you know, he's done distro before and has been up in through Columbus into Cleveland. Bad. And he created a great route on his own. They tried to go a little bit in the distro route, going through a distributor, you know, and not going to say too much, but they didn't represent the name as well as we know it can be. So, but we just got back into it, and we are now again back in Cleveland, headed out to Columbus. We are in Athens right now in the college, and in Shadyside. We're in Shadyside. We're here at Brew Works. You can go get the pineapple upside down.
So,
speaking of which, I don't mean to interrupt, but because people ask me all the time, I have one of his beers on my tap.
Yeah,
and I'm a brewery.
What beer
I have
do you
the have? Pineapple upside down cake,
which I need to try still.
It tastes just like that. And people come up to me, he's like, "Aren't you guys in competition?" I said, "No." I said, to be perfectly honest, if I can make $5 off of his beer, I'm taking it.
Absolutely.
That's right. Exactly. I make the $5.
That's right.
Well, let me ask you this while you're saying his beer. How did you two guys hook up or meet or whatever?
A mutual friend. Mutual friend. You know, Mark. Mark kind of connected the dots again.
Is it Mark?
I believe so.
Mark, who? I drank a 10% thing. I'm like buzzed up already.
Mark? Yeah, I think Mark who?
Yeah. Joseph. Mark Joseph.
Oh, Mark called me.
Mark Joseph from Wheeling?
Same one.
He's like
same one
everybody knows.
Force, man.
Really?
Huge Hightower supporter. So he does
really?
Great.
Yeah.
Mark's
me.
A great guy. I'm seeing him at the casino betting all the time.
Absolutely.
Big gambler.
Yeah.
All right. So Josh, let's talk again. So these are all the beers that have already been there.
Correct, yes.
So, and you talked about your distribution and where what do you see as your hurdle? Here's why I'm asking that. With Big Timber, their problem is storage. Yeah. They could produce a shit ton more beer, but they only have so much storage.
Correct.
Because obviously, they have a small space. They're trying to get a big.
Yeah.
What are your hurdles that you have to overcome to become bigger?
You know, at the very beginning, I think. I mean, obviously, we don't have a problem with storage. We're on 45 acres.
Okay.
So a good problem would be for us to build onto our building. Right now, we have 5,000 square feet, 7 fermenters, and we're looking to get 2 more. So we can house that already with almost 9 or 10 fermenters. And then we have the space to build on. That's a great problem that I actually want to get to, right? The biggest hurdles at the beginning, obviously, is because I'm going the self-distro route. I think there's a lot of merit in representing your own company at the beginning, right? So I want to be the people that talk to our customers. It's basically getting boots on the ground, getting into designated areas that we see be fit to carry our beer, that it's going to represent our company.
For instance, tell us where you're starting to market.
So obviously reached out to Brew Works. They're right down the street. Great traffic flow. He represents himself very well. The place is clean. The customers are right customers. They understand what good craft beer is. That's the kind of guy I want to represent.
Okay.
Getting up in through Canton, New Philly, you know, we reached out to brew houses, people that understand what – I'm not selling a Busch Light to you. Do I like Busch Light? You're damn right I do.
You said you were going to make me something like that.
We're going to talk about that because I want that too. We're going to call it yard beer.
I like it.
Right.
Absolutely.
So I got to reach out to this most specific people to represent our beer so they can push it, you know. It's going to take some due diligence and take some time to grow strategically. And what I do like is because as we grow, those numbers tell me how to expand. And I don't want to be a victim of success of growing too fast. I want to understand what those logistics look like, build on, get more kegs or whatever that may be, and just keep moving on. The only hurdle right now is just, you know, keep putting the time in and just making sure it's consistency. With the beer, consistency in taste and branding awareness.
And I wouldn't do it right away. I'd rather go to a table and say, how are your dinners? And they say consistent.
Exactly.
I'd rather hear that than good, great, because that's what brings people back.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
And honestly, that's why Big Timber in West Virginia is the best brewery in West Virginia, because all their beers are consistent, they're good, and they keep putting them out. So let me ask you this then. You're obviously you sell 4-packs.
Yep.
You sell 6 barrels. Is most of your kegs 6 barrels?
We have halves and sixes.
Halves and six, yep, but exactly. Probably with people having so many taps now, it's mostly 6 barrels.
Yeah, depending on the establishment. That's right.
But most of them are 6 barrels.
Yeah.
So is most of your quantity in cans? Are you? I mean, obviously you want to sell them both, but where are you seeing the direction of your most?
Obviously, talk margins and things like that. Actually, believe it or not, it can be in a six.
Yeah.
It just depends.
Right.
It really just depends, because there can be in kegs, cans, it can be. But we call them halves, kegs, they're halves. There's margins there too.
Are you in the, are you in the gas stations, or are your 4-packs in the gas stations?
We just took back over Distro. So obviously I'm a Shady Side guy. So I had to go after my people, you know, we take care of our own. So you can find them at Carp's Carry Out right now.
Okay. So you have your 4-packs and.
Yep. I believe all three of these right here, Hayes, the End of the Storm, and the Pink Lemonade. He took 3 cases already.
Oh, okay.
And then we're in the Tiger Pub.
You're
also
in the Tiger Pub.
Yeah,
we're
in the Club Pub, baby.
Okay, good.
And then we're in the Grill. Lucy's a great guy, graduated same year I am. He's got a great establishment down there. He's been there for a long time.
So are you obviously, you know, you've done athletic stuff your whole life.
Yeah.
And now this is a whole new venture. You're obviously still learning the business. You're learning.
Yes.
You're learning the brewing business. You're learning there's so many different arms to it that you have to learn. What talk about your employees and your the group that you're working with? Like you have a master brewer working with you. So talk a little bit about the team that you have.
You had to come up with it, right? So obviously. Starting out with this, when I first came with me and Greg started talking, you know, him and me taking over, I'm like, I'm a mouth. I can talk.
Right. Yes.
Me behind closed walls don't work all the time. I got to find somebody that'll brew, right? So my best friend in the whole world, Casey Gibbons, another Tiger, right? Been friends with him for over 20 years. It's been a long-term goal of us to work together and grow our kids together. They're both 8. And I hit him up. I said, bud, I think I'm going to go into this. What do you think, partner, and coming on board with me? And you be the brewmaster. He's a very delicate guy. He likes that. He's a good cook. He's a good father. He has all the trademarks. And he works for a company called Total Wine. He's big into a multi-billion-dollar alcohol industry. He's a wine liaison, so he understands things from that standpoint.
But did he know how to brew beer?
No. Oh, well, no. Not like how this is. No, not at all. So what's happening is now I guess you say he's coming up going through his apprenticeship. Mm-hmm. So started about a month and a half, almost 2 months ago, and that'll last clear up until about May 20th. At that rate in time, obviously Greg and Megan will depart, and then Greg's still there for support. He's still going to have our back, pick up the phone, do a FaceTime if something goes south, because that's the biggest thing is we have 350 different recipes. We can cycle through these things for the next 10 years, and you won't taste the same beer again.
Wow, that's amazing.
We don't even have to try to be mad scientists right now. We just got to do what's already worked, and the company's going to represent itself.
Talk about
four.
I'm sorry.
Four recipes.
Four?
That's what I have. I can cycle through it in a week.
That's right.
Hey, that's all right.
Talk a little bit about your brewery. Yeah. Is it? Do you have a tap room?
We do. Yes.
You have a tap room, so people can come into your tap room.
Yes.
And you're located where? Tell the people where you're located.
It's up on County Road 15 in Raylan. So basically, you hit Raylan, take the I still call it Maz, but Fairway Golf Course. Take that exit. You'll find County Road 15. You're going to go up a sharp turn. There's a light bend to the left, and then we sit right after that.
So
bend.
From Route 7, how far up the hill are you?
You're probably half a mile, maybe.
Half a mile up the hill.
Yep.
And you have a tap room that people can come in and...
Yep. Yeah, so actually there's about I'd say comfortably 30 people. It can get up to 50 people possibly inside. But then we have a huge outdoor activity area that, I mean, we have bands out there all the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a very big spread outside. I mean, you're talking a few hundred people can be outside.
Do you have a mug club?
Oh, we do actually.
We actually have a loyalty club.
Yeah, okay. loyalty mug club. Yeah.
So are you seeing people come in, regulars to come in and enjoy the beer? And
yeah. You know what's wild is when I got into this, I wanted to do everything. I want to pick up the phone. I want to go out and create customer service through our distribution. I bartend on Fridays. I'm going to go up and bartend. I want to know what that feels like, right? I'm kegging. I'm cleaning kegs. I'm doing, we're brewing beer. I'm doing it all. Right? I want to know everything about this.
And that's awesome.
And what's funny is you have a phenomenal following up there that these people are regulars every Thursday, Friday.
That's great.
They're great people. They really are.
That's awesome. Josh, before we, because our camera's going to die here soon. I wanted to ask you because I met you through fitness. Do you think you ever will get back into that, or do you think this will be the long time gig?
Oh, he's done.
Yeah,
that's done.
To own an industry that again, probably not. Uh-huh. Probably not. Well, you know what's funny about that question is, will I help people forever? 100%. At this time it's no charge. Your dad's not paying $250 anymore. So
That's right.
So this time around it's wild. I give a ton of information. My books and my brain's on an encyclopedia. Take it, use it.
Mm-hmm. For how much I paid, you should give me at least a free four pack.
At least
a free four pack. Exactly. I want a four pack of that.
You want to introduce one more beer before we go?
Listen, this coffee beer, I like it.
Phenomenal.
And I'm not a coffee beer drinker.
Yeah, is that going to keep me up tonight?
I don't know, maybe.
And
we could do Into the Storm's fantastic, okay. Yes.
Into the Storm will be it. Yeah. We're going Into the Storm.
Job, there's a plug here.
Oh, here. I get. Man, that coffee's not going to come out of that. I just want to say one thing as a fellow businessman.
What are we drinking here?
This is Into the Storm, a double IPA.
Oh, jeez.
But no, it's a light. It's a light. I know you're,
Bush Light? as a fellow business person that's owned multiple restaurants and this and that, you hit the nail right on the head. You can't grow too quick because that's insane. Yeah. The amount of variables
absolutely
which you touched on is you can't figure them out.
You can't.
Because if you have 100 variables now, you're going to have 1,000 later.
That's right.
And they're going to come up, and they're going to come up. And that's how businesses fold because they just want to grow. And for you and for small businesses right now, it can't be about the money.
It can't.
Because if you start thinking about money and the future of money and you don't figure out how to grow the money, because, it's understanding money is how you wealthy.
There's a billboard on I-70 that says that.
Exactly. That's right.
Oh, is that where I saw that? Damn, I thought I made that.
That's a great quote.
Thank you,
Jared. Jared said he liked this. You like this?
No, that's good. I like
smooth
that.
IPA,
I really like that.
It's phenomenal.
That's good.
That doesn't taste like coffee to you still?
No.
I'd mix it. I like the. I'm like a
hurricane.
Yeah,
he can mix
well,
it.
I'm a hurricane.
I think we're running out of life here on it. But, Rick, thank you for having us. This is we always have a great time. I always get drunk when I come over here, though. That's a big problem. And, Josh, I wish you
man.
The best.
Absolutely, man.
Always a pleasure to see you.
If Josh is like you guys, for me, we befriended each other really 100%. Quickly.
Yeah.
Because we had the same understanding about niceness.
Rick,
smiling,
is there anybody you don't befriend?
I just don't bring him on the
you
show.
You like everybody.
Hey, he knows good
starts
people.
Starts out that way.
You like everybody.
He knows good people.
You like everybody, and then once you find out about him, you don't like everybody.
He's still built like a brick shithouse.
He works out hard. But anyway.
One day. Josh
thank
one day.
Honestly, we wish you the best, and we'll partner up. We'll come up to your place and do a little show there and drink some of your beer.
100%.
It sounds like a great time.
It'll be a good time. Yeah.
And Rick, as always, you're
thank
the
you.
Man.
And we'll see you guys April 5th.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We will make sure that happens for sure.
Okay? 100%.
You awesome. Got to be there, too.
Absolutely, yeah.
You like wrestling?
I love wrestling.
Oh, fuck.
We'll be backstage.
Listen,
to get to wear the belt.
That's going
to
be unbelievable.
Oh, it's going to be unbelievable because we're all going back.
All right. Thanks, fellas.
Love you guys.
And we're
much
signing
you
off
much.
Here at Belmont Brew Works.
Hey,
Josh Powell's Rick Vion. Dave's the best.
He's the best.
Oh, he's
the
best.
The best.
He's going to do some work for us for our beer mile, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I might have an IQ of a boiled egg, but I like listening to the Pine Room Podcast. You are listening now to the Pine Room Podcast.
It's wonderful. All right, welcome back. Pine Room Podcast, episode 101, coming to you from Belmont Brewworks, Martins Ferry, Ohio. If you haven't checked this place out yet, I don't know what the hell you're waiting on, because it's got it all. It's a great setting. It's got wonderful drinks and a great menu, and we enjoy coming out here every single time Rick invites us.
Rick's awesome.
It's really Rick fun, awesome. And we always see some really great people, and yeah, we just can't say enough about it. It's great to be here. It's the weather's starting to turn. It's still light. Usually when we were doing these, it was dark by now, which is kind of sad to me. Mm-hmm. But I guess some people do like this time of year. I'm not one of them.
I'm not ready for it yet either.
I'm not ready for it
either.
The
last time that we were here, the hell, the fireplace was cranking. Heaters in here.
It's nice ambiance.
Yes,
I agree with that.
Beautiful setting. But as always, they're decorated. They got the Easter season decorations up here. No fire today, which is good. We don't need any of that.
We're good on that.
Yep, but Matt, Coach, Chris, and Jeff here with you. Great ensemble of characters from Pine Room right now.
The four clowns. The four clowns.
Yes. And we've got a lot going on. Obviously, Pine Room, we have our the North Atlantic Beer Mile coming up May 4th over at Waterfront Hall for Waterfront Fest. So if you're not familiar with that, check that out. Anything that you want to know about us at the Pine Room Studios, you can find out all the information. Check out our Watchdog show if you're not a regular listener to that. I highly recommend that one. It's a good time every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday. Watchdog 2 to 3 on Monday, 12 to 3 on Tuesday and Friday. Got a lot of great fan interaction, listener interaction on that one. So if you haven't checked that one out yet, you're going to want to do that. So we're happy to be here again. Got a lot of things happening. It never ends. Soup's not here, but he's probably got something orchestrated
now. He's headed back soon.
Yeah, he'll be returning to the area. So with him, we never really get a chance to take a breath, but that's a good thing. We got lots of activities happening here, and we appreciate all the support from all of our sponsors, everybody that's been so gracious to us over the last year plus. As we are now 101 episodes, and we probably couldn't have got there without the benefit of some of our longest sponsors, the Duggars and Figuretti's and Generations and on and on and on. Everybody that we've brought on board with us, IC Cab has been incredibly good to us.
Jill's Gentleman.
Ricky Zambito.
Yep. Gumby's, Ricky Zambito, Zambito Flooring America, Four Seasons Golf. It's been fun. We've met a lot of great people along the way, and hopefully we continue it on, and people continue to listen and contribute. And
that's the one nice part about the Valley, though, and I know it sounds very cliche-ish, and people want to bust chops sometimes on the Valley, but Valley people do support Valley people. And
they do.
That is very, very nice, and it is humbling, and I agree with you, Matt, because we wouldn't be here right now if it wasn't for a lot of those people you guys mentioned, so that's good shit. It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. But hopefully we're holding our end of the bargain, too, right?
Yeah,
We're not schlep rocks here.
No, definitely not. I think if you're turning the show on regularly, you're getting entertainment from some capacity across our many platforms of the Pine Room Studio. So I think
it may numb you a little bit.
We're not where we want to be yet, but why would we be? Because, that's the mark of a good team. Mm-hmm. You don't want to peak too early, and you don't ever want to get complacent. So we've got to keep getting better. We'll continue to improve, and hopefully people are along the ride with us and we can go on to bigger and better things. But it's been super fun and we're glad to be here.
I got a little cold mug before we get into this speech and debate. Well, it's not really cold mug, but I think we need to bring that hot pit cold mug back.
I agree with that.
And
totally agree.
And reaching out to these cities across the country. I think that was awesome. We talked about doing that. But Howard Monroe and Bob Slider, I love them both. I love their show, but they always complain not so much Bob at Howard, when it's going to be a rainy day. They say the day's ruined. It's terrible weather out today.
What was Howard going to do outside anyway?
Well, he was going to run with his grandson when his grandson was riding a scooter. Oh yeah, you guys heard that.
Yeah, you said that. But
Howard said. Well, he got a lot of like thousands of texts in. He said he was running with his grandson.
Was that
scootering, but anyway,
scootering.
They always say it's going to be a bad day when it's going to rain.
I love that.
Do you guys agree with that?
No, hell no.
I have a bounce in my step in the morning when the pollen count is down, which is good. I don't even have bad allergies, but the rain, something about the air is better when it rains.
I just think there's something. Now, don't get me wrong. It's a beautiful day out. The sky's blue. But there's nothing like when you hear that it's going to rain all day,
Don't you guys feel like, oh, like I'm going to just get up, just do whatever, take the dog a walk, wipe her down when you get back, and then you sit around the house, you do a few things around, and it can just, like...
To me, the only time that is a really big problem is if you had an outdoor activity.
Oh, yeah, like we had a pine room or...
Right, or you had a family
a picnic.
Function.
Yeah. I agree with that.
But, you know, even,
in general.
But on a Tuesday, and it really doesn't ruin your day if you... had intentions of cutting your grass. You can do it the next day.
Rain's never ruined my day other than a rain out of an event that I want.
Jeff, what's your take on that?
I'll be honest, it doesn't drive my mood. I mean, I think that's dumb, right? I mean, are you kidding me? Like, why would that fucking drive my mood? Right?
I'm in the reverse. I get the better mood when it rains.
That makes no sense.
And I agree. There's nothing like we're all busy people. So when you're forced to nestle in, And you know what I mean? And like you said, Mark, not that you need to be a piece of shit for 24 hours, but you get up, you maybe, you know, dick around a little bit, and you get some things done, and then the rest of the afternoon, you're kicking back. That's a great day, man, 100%.
Especially if it's a nice cold rain.
Yeah.
If it's a cold rain, like
laying
high 40s, low 50s rain. That's
so,
the
Jeff,
best.
Let's give you a set, because work day, you're still at work, but Saturday, Sunday, you know, you got your stuff done. You hear it's going to rain all day.
Oh,
doesn't that make you feel like, oh.
Without a doubt. As the older you get, obviously, I think maturation sets in and you feel bad when you can't be productive.
Right.
So the one-off situations when you cannot be it and, you know, drives you a little bit, I think that's a great
day. It's like a snow day for adults.
I agree, 100%. Yeah, I don't know how people let, I guess, and maybe I'm going to offend some people, but for people to let that drive the way, I don't know. That's a weak-minded individual.
Howard's like
weather drives the people's mindsets way
does,
too much.
Too much. That's
and
crazy.
And Howard always too. Just says, oh, it's going to be a terrible day today. Terrible day tomorrow. It's going to rain all day. And I'm always like, no, it's going to be a great day. It's going to be a great day. You don't have to worry about going outside and find, you know, doing this or that. You could sit in, settle in, and relax.
Especially if you keep up to date and ahead of all your outdoor
projects.
Maybe do
a couple loads of laundry.
Right. So
clean in one room.
So, I mean, if you let things build up, then the rain could actually be a hindrance.
Like if your grass is like this high.
Right. Above your windows?
Right, right.
The rain's at least your problems.
And then Ace says, I don't want to cut it yet because once I cut it, then
it's cold evenings. You don't want to cut it too soon.
Actually, Mark, here's the question for you, because I do consider you one of the dudes that I know in my life that is a busybody. I mean, let's be honest, you're constantly busy.
Always.
And I respect the shit out of that 100%. So with this statement that you're making right now, would this have come in your 20s and 30s?
Well, I didn't get to be as goofy as I am now when I was in my 20s or 30s.
You mean as in being a busybody?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. I wasn't like that the way I am now. I don't know what happened to me, but I probably would have not liked the rain back then.
That's fair.
But
that's what I kind of figured. But
yes.
But now it's a good day.
When I hear an all-day rain, oh, it's like heaven. It's like really, really good.
But are you guys under the mindset, though, at the end of the day, I guess, and this is very cliche, is that obviously any day above ground, I mean, at the end of the day, is a great day, right?
I mean, I know that's very cliche-ish,
but it's true.
Except like for Matt and Jubb.
I wouldn't go that far.
Except for Matt and Jubb when it's 95 and the humidity is like ridiculous.
Chris,
and
you hate that too.
No, I don't like that at all.
Yeah.
But here's the cool part about the bereavement is you're either in a house with AC or the fact you're married, you're in a pool cooling off. But I agree. I'm not just out there just to sit out there and eat dinner and 95. Fuck that. I'm not doing that. Because I don't like that hot either, man. I've never. Even as a kid, I wasn't a huge fan of that.
No. And Jarrett, could just sit out there and just bake. I don't get it.
Here's what I will tell you. If my ass is going to sweat just sitting there, that's not what I'm looking to do.
That's not good for anyone.
No, not at all. My ass starts sweating, I'm not doing a goddamn thing. No, that's just not good. That's just not good.
So anyway,
let's get into it.
Yeah, we want to.
So let's preface what happened here. So on our Monday show, this is on the Pine Room on the Watchdog. We talked about the Wheeling Park debate team winning the state championship?
Yeah, 44
straight years. And Job had some question marks about that. I had some question marks. Yeah. And then we continued to debate into Tuesday. Coach got some feedback. So, Coach, bring the listeners up to date on what's going on.
Well, first of all, Wheeling Park's had a monster-like run here over the last week. They won the state basketball championship, women or girls, which Chris was part of, which was really cool. When's the last time they won?
99.
So 1999, first time they won. Yeah, right. That was a really
Shea
good team,
Glosser
too.
Was on that team.
Yeah, Shea Glosser. They won in 98-99.
Well, I just want to spend, like, just a couple minutes on that team. That was Katera, Shea Glosser,
Tony Mack,
Tony Matkovich. Shoot, there was another one of the Gompers.
Brooke Kozar.
One of the Gompers.
Duffin. Lauren Gompers would have been the oldest. She didn't. Yeah. She wasn't there. Yeah.
Duffin.
Yeah, Megan Duffin.
Emily Duffin or Megan?
Megan.
But and let me get your opinion on this, Chris. You've seen them both. How would that team fare against
honestly, Mark, I just remember seeing highlights.
I think it's going to be a problem.
I went to school with a lot of those girls. It's a different game. The girls now are so much smaller than they were back then.
Yeah.
Like Shea Glosser was like a guard, and she was like 5'10". Yeah, and Tony Matkovich was like 5'9", and Katera was incredible. Megan Duffin was a post player. Like they had a lot of size and everything else.
Funny you say it, because when I got Alexis Bordas to join you guys on the radio, I walked outside with her. I was walking side by side with her. I'm like, it, not that it just hit me, but like, man, this girl, she's small.
She's tiny.
Yeah. She is small.
Yeah.
I mean, and you're right, Matt. Those girls were bigger.
That's the biggest difference in my mind.
And Katera was strong, too. I mean, she. And
yeah,
she,
I mean, she was. You
know that team, the 99. Yeah,
I think this team this year would have had problems with that team.
Yeah, I think you guys probably shoot the ball better from the outside because it was more of an emphasis then, but. Like, post play was so much more, you know, part of the game.
It meant something. Yeah. It definitely meant something.
So it's just a different game.
But the coolest thing, I would say, somebody, they put it on Twitter or whatever after they won it, said, party like it's 1999.
Yeah.
Like, like the 99 team, which I thought that was pretty cool.
I'd like to get some guys that really know both teams to get their take on who would. And you can always it's all speculation, but I just think, as you said, they'd have their hands full with Katera. I think that would have been the best player.
Everybody in the state would have had trouble.
Oh, my gosh,
So I don't know, but anyway.
Yeah, so anyway, they won the state. They won the state title. What am I missing? Somebody else won.
Oh, the robotics team? They won the state
championship. Yeah, robotics team. Right.
Which is going to be really important down the Jump road.
Was on a robotics
gonna be,
team, I
those
think.
Those are going to make up our referees and our umpires and all the other things that we don't have to yell at anymore.
Right. So anyway, so the speech team wins their 44th consecutive state championship. Jump's over there shaking his head.
Jump don't like this
conversation. So the 44th state consecutive state title. I'm not sure there's any – team, organization, sport has won 44
of anything.
That's what I mean. Anything.
Like we use the term tiddlywinks, not even tiddlywinks.
No. Right, Jeff.
Right. And I know Jeff was part of a state championship tiddlywinks.
100% I was. That was back in first grade, though.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Who all was on your team?
You know what? Millet Fadul.
I figured it was Millet. Yeah, he was a captain.
We were a two-time champion.
Millet was a captain. Right. Boy, he could tiddly.
He could. I tell you what.
He could tiddly.
Tesors could wink. It's unbelievable. It was unbelievable.
So anyway, the point that these guys made, Matt and Jubb especially, made, well, more Jubb actually than anybody. No team should win 44 straight.
It's impossible.
No matter. So impossible. My thing was that maybe they're just that good. Maybe they're just good enough to win 44 straight. Just they practice a lot. They're good. These guys said there's absolutely no way.
Could you do anything 44 straight times the same?
No, like I know. No, I agree. Because they can't have that many good players.
You couldn't cut your grass 44 straight times perfectly. You couldn't draw a circle on a piece of paper 44 straight times perfectly. I mean, there's nothing you could do.
So the point was that there's a couple options. And I got a text from
performance enhancement
from a guy that has been around a little bit.
Yeah, so we were getting hate mail on the air about
this. Well, I got a call too the next morning from an anonymous listener that he said they work hard, they're dedicated.
Well, no one questioned that.
They're very good, and that's why they win.
And a lot of people are very good,
right?
So,
and other schools work hard.
Well, yeah, so I got a text from a good guy, good friend, listener. I heard several years ago through a good source that in the first 30 years that Park was the only school that had kids participate. So the first 30 years that Park had the only school that had kids participate in each category.
Wait, so they competed against each other and that's it?
Well, they had to get the points only.
So an inter-squad scrimmage, basically.
So for 30 years, they were getting points in whatever the categories are.
Well, if that's the case, they didn't even have to travel to Charleston. They could have fucking stayed up on the hill and went against each other.
All right, continue on, Coach, because I'm not liking what I'm hearing here.
The other schools didn't have enough kids to compete in those categories, and for that reason, Park would always win because they had a chance at every point in every category. However, in the last 10 to 15 years, there are schools that compete in every category. So I think
they were operating under false pretenses. I think they could maybe have a claim to like a 14 or 15 straight year winners, not 44.
You might have a point there because I know when I talked to whomever on Saturday night amidst the celebration, that was mentioned about the speech.
Oh, you guys talked about
that? Wait, yeah, what was this mentioned, Chris? I'm interested to hear this.
Well, Dr. Miller had mentioned that at the party. She goes, but don't forget the speech and debate team. And then I had asked somebody, how do we get to 44 in a row? And I think it was Coach Doc even said, though, that the participation in the competition was very limited. So there's not many schools that are in it. I mean, obviously, for 30 years, it was just Park. But so I don't know.
Not just Park, but Park with a full team.
We had a
team.
Caller call in and say that that's only because there's four counties in the state that can read. which probably carries some weight.
Well, yeah, you're probably right.
And it probably are all four in the northern Panhandle.
Well, I was going to say, it's probably not McDowell County.
But here's the dumb question. So there's no classes, right? Yeah. There's no classes. It's all of the state of West Virginia high school. Everybody. So single A can go against triple A and all that. There's no classes.
But,
So, wow. Okay.
But do you guys – I've never seen it. I don't know how it – the format, what – do you know what they do? I mean
– Well, there's like a bunch of different categories. Pros, P-R-O-S-E.
Yes.
Debate, what else? I've only got two, and there's like 20. So there's different categories where they have to give whatever speech is related to that. So there might be five kids from Park and only one from Huntington or one from GW or wherever. Mm-hmm. And so that gives Park a huge advantage.
Why isn't it just one man, one vote?
Like, I don't know. I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that.
Well,
I don't.
44 is 44.
It's like this.
I mean,
the champions. But
here's the next question, though. What happens in year 45 when they don't win? Can you imagine being that group of people?
That's the big.
Like they may, may be suspension bridge, may be back.
That teacher or coach is going to get fired.
That team that doesn't win. That team that doesn't win is going to have major issues.
Oh, issues. Yeah. Big time
issues.
They're
going to have counselors at school.
Right.
Everything.
There'll be counselors. There'll be death threats.
I mean, don't you think the preface of this, obviously, at the end of the day, and obviously I probably wasn't smart enough in high school to do all that shit, but at the end of the day, those are your future leaders of America, quote-unquote.
Well, where are they, though? That was my question the other day.
And I get that, but, like, I would imagine that's your people that are wanting to go into law, all different types of things like that, but that's wild to me. It really is.
I thought we'd have a mayor or a...
But here's the deal. You are right, though. Suspension bridge, be careful. When that team does lose,
it'll be
bad. It's not going to be good. It's just not going to be good. So here's what I will say. I'll summarize from my side of things.
Okay.
I smell a little bullshit.
And not that you want to take anything away from a group of kids, because I think it's pretty cool. And at the end of the day, if that's what they're hanging their hats on, I think that's awesome too. But at the end of the day, I think if I was part of those teams recently, I think I'd probably have a hard time like looking people in the eye and going,
calming down on the 44 in a row, right?
Just a little bit, right? Yeah. Just a little bit, yeah.
So Chris, are we?
Joe, you're just shaking your head.
It's all fake.
What do you mean
news.
Fake? No. Fake news. Job thinks this could perhaps be all staged from the beginning.
Well, so is Park paying somebody? Is that what you're thinking?
I think you got something against Bill Cornforth.
Well, I was listening to the show when you were discussing this, and Job had made mention of like a lot of the voters or the judges were from Hyde County and Willing Park.
Wait a second. So you're telling me the fix was in?
Didn't you mention
that? Well, yeah, he did say that. Yeah. I don't know where he got that information.
That's it.
That was
on their job. I think we need a congressional investigation.
No, I think that I'm almost certain that one of the judges or somebody of significance is from Wheeling Park that's on the voting committee. I'm almost certain.
You don't think they could be
objective?
That's like a guy that graduated Park being a referee, like if Luke refereed a Park
game. Right, that doesn't mean he's a cheater.
Yeah.
In most cases, I would say it was okay.
Your question is... his integrity.
Integrity, the whole thing's a fraud. The whole thing, 44 years is impossible.
It is.
So even, my point is, if for 30 years they couldn't fill the roster of other schools, and then after that 30 years they finally started filling it out, Park might have 40 kids in a category, and another school might have one. So it's not like they filled it out and were on equal playing.
They might get to 100 wins.
Yeah.
Who's the second powerhouse is my next question.
I heard Huntington.
Great question.
Huntington.
Whose ass is we whipping?
Huntington.
How big is Huntington?
Big. Bigger than
us. It's big as us.
Big.
Yeah, I mean,
bigger.
4A.
Bigger population,
listen,
I guess.
We just take them on. But Bill Cornforth said, bring anybody on. We'll kick your ass.
Chris, I compare this to like when the Canadians invented hockey and then there was originally only six teams and then these teams trying to claim they won the Stanley Cup so many times.
Yeah.
Come on. You beat six teams.
You're exactly right. Montreal and Toronto had like a billion.
I mean, I respect your teams. You were the best team at that time, but you beat six teams.
Well, yeah, and case in point.
Or five, really.
So now the league had expanded. Now that it's up to 32 teams and Toronto
hasn't won since
1967.
Yeah. And Montreal's won once, probably.
So, that's a good comparison. But I mean, was Mr. Cornforth, he's the real deal, though.
He's a great guy. He's a great coach.
No, I think he does
a great coach.
I don't question
it. Has he been a coach his whole 44 years?
Yeah, but not now.
He might be done now.
He retired like 2 years ago.
But he was a badass. I know that those kids were incredibly well prepared. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, absolutely.
And there's really – I don't question that they might not have won 44 straight, but I just got to question the competition. Like, everybody. I mean, the Lakers, the Celtics, all these dynasties, the Patriots,
there couldn't be
the
like
Bulls,
one upset.
They've all lost. I
like,
mean,
like in 1981.
Somebody shot at the buzzer. Somebody did a debate at the buzzer to beat Park.
A debate at the buzzer. That's even better. And I love the sports analogies, too.
We got to dumb it down for people.
This is true.
For myself included. I don't think I think Huntington beats Park in a lot of things. Why wouldn't speech be one of them?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's what?
Bill Cornforth's a great coach.
The girls go out. The basketball girls go out. They shoot hoops. They score. They win. They prove themselves.
They're going to get an upset. Bill Cornforth.
And there's no judging in that. You don't judge if the ball went through the hoop.
So this is like this could be like Olympics.
Where are they have it at? Where are they?
Well, no one knows. It's like Area 51.
Roswell.
All Bill Cornforth cares about is the next team we play.
Is anybody seen that video? Ahead. Is there any video of this?
I think we're going to go.
No,
listen, we're covering this next year.
Did you hear that? Oh boy,
Jubb wants in.
He thinks there's money.
He wants
involved.
A forensic accountant.
But that's what I was going to ask. So, what is the conspiracy theory?
Grease in the pockets.
What's the conspiracy theory, though?
I think somebody from Park is involved. If they've been the only one in for 30 years, somebody like before.
Jubb's saying Park invented the contest. They invented the rules, and they're manipulating the rules for their own game.
Oh wow! Wow! Okay.
Here's a fact for you: Wheeling Park was founded in 1967. The tournament is 44 years old. It's only 5 years younger than the founding of the school.
67.
I thought that it was 76.
76. Yeah, you get it.
76.
Close enough. No, close.
Only 9 years.
10 years, 9 years. Yeah.
11.
All right, flip-flop it, 1976.
We may be the illiterates. God, we're making fun of people. We can't even do math up here. Holy shit.
Nah, in the ballpark.
The tournament's 44 years old. It's only 5 years younger than when the school was founded. So I think what Matt said, somebody founded the tournament in Wheeling Park, and they have the inside for the whole. They've had it in there the whole time.
The answer
so
to the
you're
test.
You're saying that tournament judges are driving like Cadillacs and taking big vacations and
big kickbacks.
You're thinking Bill Kornforth was on the take.
No. Wow.
Cool.
It's
wow.
Like blue you chips.
Kornforth's on the take.
I know. And Dr. Meraki passed away earlier this last year. So, I mean, I don't know if he had any. I mean,
so you're saying the secret's died with him.
Kornforth's a great guy. Yes.
So, all right.
Well,
so, who do we
compare? Great guys.
Yeah, that's true.
Who do we compare Bill Kornforth to on the coaching side? Red Auerbach, John Wooden,
Gino,
Phil Jackson.
Hey, Matt, what's the show about the Tim Donaghy taking the money?
Oh, Operation Flagrant Foul.
Yeah. So there might have been some money in the.
Wonder how much is wagered on those contests each year.
There's got to be a line somewhere. It's got to be a line on DraftKings.
So if you guys mentioned those, so if you're talking about the Mount Rushmore championships, you probably got Wooden, Ariama, Kornforth, and who's the other
Phil
guy?
Jackson.
Phil Jackson.
Red Auerbach.
Sounds appropriate. Here's the big question. Obviously, you sit down in front of a sports figure or a sports
dirty?
Team.
Yeah.
And they talk about, from a standpoint, somebody would get really pissed off. If we were having this conversation, you were talking in front of an Alabama fan with football, and you were trying to say, you know, your dynasty sucked. You know, I'm sure, they would want to fight you.
Oh, yeah, they would.
Oh, yeah.
So if you went in front of, a parent of one of these kids, what do you think that interaction would be like? And that's not to make fun of anybody, just asking the question.
That's a great question.
Would they be up in your mug going, what the fuck are you talking about? What do you mean? 44 is legit? Fuck off. I mean,
I've hopefully never they seen can debate it, I don't know how it better than that.
Yeah.
What? Chris, you said
debate gate?
That Mount Rushmore, are they all dirty?
Huh? Oh, I don't know.
Mount Rushmore, are they all dirty? Are they all like the John Calipari's and the
organized
crime with it?
No. If you got
Mike Florio's dad knows was got, taking bets on this back in the day.
No, if you got Phil Jackson, Gino Armiama, John Wooden, and Bill Kornforth. No, they're as pure as snow.
Well, who's lights. Oh, is Kornforth clean?
Well, I'm starting
to accuse him of being dirty.
Yeah, he's on the take.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Jeez, Pete.
Oh, I don't think Gino's Jump clean either. Gino's not clean. Gino's clean.
Is he on the take?
He was sleeping with his players.
And paying him a lot.
Yeah.
Before it was legal.
Listen, who wants to
Gino.
Who wants to go to Connecticut and play basketball?
Good for him.
Up there where it's freezing every day.
Yeah. Sutton. So I guess at the end of the day, was the basketball, the Calhoun, was he the same way? Because at one time, they had a nice run, too.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
He was corrupt. He got
I hope Gino wasn't sleeping with horse face.
Oh, Lobo? No, he's got to draw the line somewhere.
Jesus Christ.
A lot of those girls would have probably
sleeping with their teammates.
I was going to say, man, don't go pee at the same time because you're going to be really disappointed.
Yeah, remember, make sure you got a divider between the stalls.
Always welcome, though. Always welcome, but there's a divider in the stall, right?
Oh, my. Wow, very politically correct episode.
Interesting episode there.
Chubb's going to have a lot of editing to do here.
No, he shouldn't.
I just want to put it out there, for next week.
We want raw.
Jared has reached out to an inside source, and we're going to get some inside information.
Oh, no way.
Okay.
Can we have a guest on?
Yeah, I
want Bill Kornforth. I want the guy that judges this contest. I want Dalton Haas.
Oh.
And then I want Gary Ridgway, the Green River Killer.
But the only one that I want Dalton, I want him in something orange. I at least want him in something orange when he comes
up. I
want
to go down to the prison in Glenville or wherever it is, AB, and go in there and interview him.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. And he was like, I'm innocent. I don't even know what I'm doing here right now. I was at the Lebanese church, and all of a sudden they just pulled my ass out.
The Lebanese hockey program is really thriving.
Really great, yeah.
Did a good job funding that.
Hey, I'm watching Narcos, and this is like right on the same page with Narcos. Oh, this is like right there.
Wheeling Park debate.
Well, there's not killing going on, but there's a lot of shenanigans.
Apples to apples.
A lot of shenanigans. I think it's.
You don't get a good feeling from what all.
Well,
this.
These guys have swayed my opinion. Right. The first guy I'm going to look at is Bill Cornforth.
There's debaters. There's master debaters have a lot of, like, they get a lot of points.
Master. Lots of pool.
I'm telling you, I'm looking for Bill Cornforth if he disappears.
Well, let's hope that doesn't happen.
Master debaters. That's a good way to end that segment.
Hey, Job, if they call you and say what size shoes you wear, don't give them your size. That could be bad.
That'll do it for the Pine Room Podcast episode 101.
How come when us four are on, things go sideways? Oh,
that's the there you go.
But
Jeff's sober as a judge.
Yeah, I know, right?
He's
I don't know if that's a good thing.
Of the speech tournament.
I know. Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, that's going to do it for us here tonight from Belmont Brew Works. We appreciate Rick and his crew having us out. It was fun as always. We will be back as usual next week. Maybe we won't be. We might be in the
might
studio.
Might be in a pothole.
We might be somewhere else.
I think we're going to do one from a pothole.
All right. Well, we'll figure that out. The people will figure that out.
Are there any potholes in Wheeling?
No. There's no potholes in Wheeling, so we probably got to come to Ohio, which hey, man, I genuinely love. So.
Mark, this morning I turned the corner there, and the tunnel was closed.
That's my favorite.
But I'm sure they let you know.
That's my favorite.
All right. Well, until next week, have a wonderful week. Cheers to everybody here at Belmont Brew Works.
Thank you, Rick.
Congratulations to the speech team. Congratulations to the basketball team and the robotics team, and hopefully the boys' basketball team wins too. That'll do it for us. Episode 101 in the books. We'll see you next week.
Peace.